Wednesday evening, 2/14/24. Happy Valentine's to whoever's listening. All right, we're going to do part two on the importance of being filled with the Spirit. All right, we looked at, the first part was 2/4/24. And we looked at how Jesus was not independent. He followed the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit before he could be used for ministry, and he had to be endued with power for that. So I'm going to read a little bit, but not a whole lot of last week, just a couple of scriptures here. First one's Luke chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 21 and 22. It says here, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. So we know shortly after that, chapter 4, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then it says he came out, same chapter, full of the Holy Ghost and power. So we can't do it without the Holy Spirit's help. We looked at, didn't I get the Holy Spirit when I was born again? Yes, you did. But then, what's the purpose of being born again? I mean, have eternal life, take away your sins. But on the other side of that is to endue you for ministry, whatever God has called you to do. So we need the Holy Spirit's help for that. In fact, I've taught on the inner work quite a bit about everything in the church. And I don't know why I haven't seen it sooner than I did, that it's everything is inside. The church totally has become basically outside, an outside religious institution. Even most Christian, even tongue-talking churches. Not bashing anybody. We've all been there and thought that was the way to go. But the thing is, I've never seen really much power in all the many years I was in churches. I didn't see any manifestations of power. Not really. Somebody might stand up and testify they got healed or something like that, and nothing wrong with that. But the Holy Spirit, when Jesus started ministering, we started seeing all kinds of supernatural things in the Word of God that people had never seen before in their whole life. What did it do? It caused them to just flock to Him. I mean, He raised the dead. Ever heard of anybody raised from the dead by anybody except Smith Wigglesworth? Was that him? Did I get that right? Yeah. So, the Holy Ghost is the power of the church, right? The power. He told the disciples, don't even go anywhere or do anything until you go and you separate yourself and you wait until you're endued with what? Power. They couldn't even lead anybody to Jesus or do anything like that until they were endued with power. So this is an inside operation. And I don't mean a gangster. I mean this is a God inside operation all the way. When we get a hold of that, it'll change the way we look at things and what we do. Okay, John chapter 12. And Jesus didn't take the credit for himself. He comes boldly and says, I'm not doing the works. All right, John 12, 49. All right. Did I get that right? 49 and 50, what I have. I'm in Luke, sorry. John. All right, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. How does he do that? Through the Holy Ghost. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So we get instructions from the Holy Spirit. He's in direct communication with the Father. And he's telling us what to do. At no time are we ever at liberty to just do what we think. It gets us in trouble, right? Any have been in trouble for doing what you think, right? Lots of times. In fact, more times than I dare to even say. Yeah. But we don't have to continue to do that. You know what? When the new guard steps up and this begins to come forth, you're going to see power. You're going to see freedom. You're going to see your best life now. That's what you're going to see. It's going to be wonderful. I said, Lord, I can't wait for that. I yearn to see that because dealing with Christian, so-called Christian people that are good people, they have no clue about this in any area of their life. And Danny had a word that said, 90% of the church or my body do not even know how to consult me. Kind of, I don't know exactly how you put it, but it was like they don't even know how to tap into me. They have no idea how to do that. Wow, they've not been taught to do that. I know, because I've been in the churches. I wasn't taught to do that. Now I know there's some that were trying, but I didn't get it. I didn't understand that. Most people think, well, I just do what I think is best. And God will do the rest. No, don't work like that. So this is a key thing. If we learn to not move out independently of the Holy Spirit, we will never miss it. Think about that. You know what sin is? It means to miss the mark. I want to be right on the mark every time, don't you? Because in his pathway is life and there is no death. There is no bridge out ahead whenever you follow the Spirit. But if you're following your own what you think or what you're pressured to do, bridge out ahead. Warning, Will Robertson. All right. Even Jesus could do nothing or couldn't do anything but what the Father planned for him to do. And he could only do that because he was empowered with the Holy Ghost to do so. Okay. He also came to know that it was not him doing it. You know, we look to a lot of leaders and there's books written about people like Smith Wigglesworth and different ones that did mighty works. Well, I'm telling you, they couldn't have done that unless they were following the Spirit. There's no way that he could raise however many people he raised from the dead on his own steam. 14, Danny says 14 people raised from the dead under his ministry. I don't know anybody else that's even got one under their belt. How did he learn to do this? All right, let's go to Matthew. This is Matthew 14. Did he just, you know? How are we learning to do it? I want to read a few scriptures here. There's a key here. All right, 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. What did he do? He pulled aside and looked inside. That's how he did his ministry. Okay, there's a bunch of them here. Matthew 26. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. All right, verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. All right, 42. He went away again. He's trying to get them to pray with him, and they all fell asleep. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. One more, 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Do you believe Jesus prayed in tongues? I absolutely do. All right, Mark 14. It's just the same account in Matthew. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. He was a praying man. And he prayed in the Holy Spirit. Only someone that was endued with power could go and do what he did. Succumb to what he succumbed to. Only by the Holy Ghost. All right, 35. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. You know, there's many times just in what we've gone through. I can remember a few months back before I started going through the horrible thing that I've been going through, and I won't relay any information about it. I've been praying a lot in the Spirit, and it's helped me greatly. But I remember one night in particular, at the onset of it, the Holy Ghost just kind of welled up in me. I felt a peace come on me like I haven't before. The other time that I had that come on me like that, whenever we went to, Amber was going to have a CT scan, and they diagnosed her with cancer. I remember walking out of that diagnostic center and having that same spirit come down on me like that. Like it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be a hard place to walk in. A lot of people don't know this. You know, our son supposedly killed himself in the same week that this happened. There were people all over Odessa that we know, a few we know, but some we don't know, that were praying for us. Hard places, hard, hard places. But the Holy Spirit's there and gives you the grace, the power to walk through it. There's things sometimes that I hear, I have to just constantly keep my care cast. Just hearing about some people and their circumstances and the hard things they're going through. All over the place this is happening. They need the Holy Ghost. He's the comforter. We're going to look at that here in a minute. All right, what I left off with what? 36, 42. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Wait a minute, that was not what I was supposed to write. I'm looking in Matthew. This is Mark 35, not 30. What did I just read to y'all?
35.
All right, 39, sorry. Again, he went away and prayed and spake the same words. Was Jesus trying to get out of it? You bet he was. You trying to get out of your trial today? Yeah, you are. Lord spoke to us recently, another word through Danny. I'm not going to take it off of you. I'm going to let you gradually walk out of it. So he's used this to teach us to trust him, to listen to him. So when time comes when we will be used, we will not be moved by things. We won't be a John Mark. When the fire gets hot, you run away. All right, 44. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, take him and lead him away safely. So he went on. I mean, he went to the place where he needed to be. All right, Mark 6:46. Let's go back just a little bit. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So Jesus spent a lot of time alone praying, getting the mind of the Spirit. All right, Luke 11. Verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. Where'd he get that prayer? Up on the mountainside somewhere. He was a man. Who he was as God is not what we saw, even though he was. He came as a man. He walked it out under the old covenant. And then he gave us the same power has come to us through the Holy Ghost that operated in him. So we can't say we can't do it. We've got supernatural help. It's just learning to tap into that help. It makes me sad when I know people that are filled with the Spirit and they don't use their prayer language. They never use their prayer language. But they'll go to a lot of different measures to try to get their help some other way. I remember Brother Hagin, he said, give the Holy Spirit and the Word of God at least the time you give to the doctor. If the doctor says, come back Tuesday, you come back Tuesday. If he says, don't do that, you don't do that. He says, do this, you do that. Come back Wednesday. You come back Wednesday. Whatever the world has to say. Because that's what we've been trained in. But the Holy Ghost has got the answer for everything. If anyone would take the time to tap in. You know, I talked to you about AM and FM. The flesh being AM. God's voice being FM. He's talking all the time. All the time. He's doing everything in his power to get your attention. The Holy Spirit's in there. I heard somebody say this one time, saying, quiet! What's he talking about? Your mind. And how the devil and his psyop coming at you all the time, trying to get you onto this thing and that thing. Isn't that the way it is? You can't hardly get on social media anymore that you hadn't got 50 cures for everything. Everything eats poison and all these different things growing out of the ground that's supposed to be poison. No, this will cure you. This will help you. I mean, there's just garbage everywhere. And right here, the doctor himself is right inside of us just saying, listen, listen. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He does not. But we're going to have to listen.
We can't play church like we have. We can't.
The first bunch I ever taught this to, if they could have, if they'd had tar and feathers, I'd have had them on me. Not any different message than I'm speaking to you tonight. I'd hate to be them when they stood before the Father. It's kind of like the man, you know. His brothers had all died. You know, this man, his brothers were still alive, and he died. The rich man, he died. And he's over there barking orders at Abraham or Lazarus. You know, Abraham, you know, do something about this. Jesus just said, you know, there nothing can be done about it. Because there were people here trying to tell you, and you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen to Moses and the prophets. How to get off on that? Only the Lord knows. All right, Luke 5:16. The Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows He's going to be listening to this, right? All right, 5:16. It says, and He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. This is whenever the crowd was so getting so great and He healed a lot of people. A lot of people began to press on Him. What did He do? He withdrew Himself and prayed. See, there was one part where they were going to come and make Him king. And He withdrew. He didn't want to miss the Father's plan. So He had to pray. He was a man. Endued with the Holy Ghost like you and I. He had to pull aside and pray. He had to get instructions. He had a flesh to contend with, just like we do. He had an emotions. Just think about it. At the pool of Bethesda, thousands of sick and infirm people, and He ministered to one man. How it must have pulled in His heart to want to help everybody. But He could only do what the Spirit was leading Him to do, because He wasn't going to receive power from any other way or any other source. All right, 6:12, Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray, continued all night in prayer to God. We've had a few of those all-nighters. In fact, I had one recently. But I realized it was going to be the next few days that I was not going to be able to do that. And so it helped me get done what I needed to be done. Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. He's taking care of us. All right, Luke 9:18. I don't know if that's what I wanted. Luke 9:18, that's what it is. Okay. Well, we'll skip that one. I don't think that even applies here. Don't know how it got there. Anyway. All right. Jesus had to learn it just like you and I are having to learn it. The Holy Spirit showed Jesus what to do, where to go, and what to say. He wasn't filled, and that was it at the beginning. All these people that say, you know, He was a Buddhist and walked among all these nations and He did all this stuff, all this junk. I'm going, didn't happen. He didn't do miracles as a child either. He went home and was subject to his parents, it says, until he came of age. For a Hebrew male, that's 30 years old before they're even considered an adult. Now, if He needed to renew, then so do you. Right? Think about that. Renewal of the Holy Ghost. We're going to look at that real quick, a few scriptures. Titus 3:5. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What? No. Okay. Ephesians 3:16. This is part one of the Ephesians prayers, just one scripture out of it. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Healing comes from inside, from out of that. We're going to look at some healing at the end. Lord, led me that way. Healing scriptures. Inner man. It comes from the inner man. God's medicine is inward. It's an inward work that shows itself on the outside. Anything else is just trying to do something from the outside. Sometimes some of the ways do a little something, but I'll tell you, when it's done inside, it don't come back. The inner work is a lasting work. All right, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How do we charge our spiritual batteries? We have to plug into the Holy Ghost like you plug in your phone. That's how we do it. We have to plug into the source. Jude 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you want to build your faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Why wouldn't believers want to pray in the Spirit? It baffles me. Jesus called it the living water. You know, you hear a lot of that right now in this, in our culture, about the living water and all this junk. Well, they mean all this outward stuff. We're talking about the real living water. The real living water that raises people from the dead. Sets people free, casts out devils. Multiplies loaves and fishes. All right, John 7:38. I know we're all over the place, but good stuff, Maynard. That'll date you. All right, 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. All right, let's look at that a minute. Belly, here's a cavity or the abdomen or the matrix. The matrix is the womb. Figuratively, it's the heart. Belly or womb. There's the production. Yeah, and I want to read Proverbs 4 to you. I think I read it last week, but it goes along with this, I think. All right, this is 4:20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Right here, this heart means the mind. will and emotions, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Then it goes on here, verse 5, my son, attend to my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. So he's not talking about outward, he's talking about inward. It'll keep you from making mistakes. It'll keep you from doubting. Because see, that's where the battle is in the mind. That's what Satan has targeted. It's obvious the world we live in. For generations, we've been targeted with MK Ultra programming through movies and television and the Lord knows what else, to brainwash us with their medical commercials and what all kinds of things to get us to believe a lie. You remember when it came out in the 70s, God is dead? Yeah. Praying in the Spirit helps us tune into God. Remember the analogy, again, of the AM and FM. The Holy Spirit is like a heavenly GPS. All right, John 14. Verse 6. Jesus says right here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care what anyone says. There's only one way to Jesus, or Jesus is the way. Way here means, this is just a dictionary, a method or a manner of doing something. In other words, the way of the Spirit. Truth, that's God's word. Verse 7 here. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. God's word. God is his word. Jesus was made flesh, dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right. Right here, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus was telling them, I'm going back, but I'm sending somebody to take my place until I come again. All right, when you engage the Holy Spirit, he will bring you the truth. He will never have to question it. And it's been my experience, when the Lord speaks, there's peace comes with it. All right. You know, there's not any life outside of that. Are you really living life outside of that? No, people think they are. They're going here and there and just doing a bunch of stuff. You know, like, speaking of people retirement age, this is the pattern that I've seen. And I don't know a lot of people, but it seems to be they all, when they quit the job, they buy a house where their kids are, follow their kids around. Or they buy somewhere where they can get on the golf course, or, you know, that kind of thing, and that's what they spend the rest of their life doing. That's not life. That's just winding out the clock. I don't want to be there. Sorry, I'm thinking, I'll follow my kids around. But really, this is the way it is. That's the American dream, not God's. Think about that. Okay, let's keep going. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'll tell the story again about, what's her name? Anyway, the lady that I call Mary Walters. Going to the doctor and being diagnosed with shingles, and then the doctor said, all this stuff's going to happen to you. And she kept saying, no, it's not. She had a 10-hour flight ahead of her. She got on the airplane and prayed in tongues for 10 hours. When she landed, she's well. She said, I wondered why the stewardess kept trying to give me wine. She probably seemed like a crazy woman over there mumbling or have mouth going, and they don't thought she's weird. No, she's healed. Yeah, she's healed. That's true. That is the honest to gospel truth. All right. Quicken here means to revitalize. Yeah. I can remember times back when I was working, had kids in school and stuff like that. And then I was teaching Wednesday night kids and stuff like that. And I can remember just being so weary and my feet hurt so bad. But I went and I prayed in the Spirit and everything. And it was like I'd had a nap. It's like something else kicked in. Yeah, that's the way it happens. All right. Psalms 103. When you really get the understanding of what all the Holy Spirit does for us, you don't want to waste any time anymore on empty pursuits. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Man, that sounds like a plan right there, doesn't it? Not just well, but youth renewal. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what He's doing in us. 1 Timothy 4:8. Says here, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, the eternal things that are everlasting. Many are seeking quick fixes, you know, but the healer is inside of you. You just have to engage Him. It's up to you what you want to do. I've personally experienced healing this way. I look up and, you know, something that I'd had a condition I was diagnosed with back in my 20s. And I had to take this horrible medication, expensive medication at that time. And we got so turned on to the Word that I just got lost in reading the Word and praying in the Spirit. And one day I realized it wasn't there anymore. Gone. All right. It goes away. It doesn't come back. And there's no procedure that you have to go through that hurts, and all this medication that you don't want to take, none of that. None of that goes with it. Now, I know there's some people that they may never be able to let go of it. They're so entrenched in it. But what I recommend to just about anybody is if you're doing that, start adding God's medicine in with it. And that way you get used to and you start being able to build up yourself and wean off the other. That's the easier way to do that. Okay. My heart's cry for the body of Christ to tap into their inner life. There's no other life outside of that. All right, let's go back to John 14. I want to read some other scriptures. What people don't understand, it's not like just popping a Tylenol. It takes diligence and a discipline to work this into your life. It's not a quick fix. That's why I think a lot of people don't get it. It's because they think, well, I prayed, where is it? See, God didn't do nothing. Well, no, what they don't understand, it's not an outward thing. It's an inside thing, and it takes time for this to work from here and come out. All right, 14:15. Or let's just pray. Oh, I'm 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He promises us that. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. See, this is a relationship. Comforter here means it's paraclete. It's not paraclete, but it's paraklelos. It means intercessor and counselor. That's what the Holy Spirit is. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Isn't it time to stop mourning your situation and engage your heavenly GPS? It is. Engage your healer. He's in you. All right. So many people are looking for love and hope and healing nowadays, everywhere you turn. All right. It's time to build these things into our spirit. Gloria Copeland said this, with consistency comes the power. Well, there it is right there. It's something that you do and you're going to do for the rest of your life, and you're going to steadily grow stronger and stronger and stronger in it. Yeah, that's what you have to do. It's not just going to, like Brother Hagin used to say, it's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off the tree. It's just not going to happen that way. You're going to have to do your due diligence. All right, I'm going to read some scriptures. Really, all these scriptures are in God's medicine, so I'm just going to read God's medicine for the sake of, it's just easier that way. All right, well, I already read to you Proverbs 4, 23-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. All right, let's go back here. This is Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely hath borne our griefs. It means literal. Well, let me move my deal. It means literal sicknesses, carried our sorrows, or which is pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:16-17. And Jesus healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's all in us. But we have to tap into it, see? We bring it out. Christ hath redeemed us, Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Exodus 15:26. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. They even had this in the old covenant. Exodus 23:25-26. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. They got to be on FM. Not AM. People could just get that simple fact. Psalms 91:10-16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalms 103:2-3. We read that a while ago. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights. God's not holding out on you or anybody else. They just haven't tapped in. They haven't got the Holy Spirit engaged. Their heavenly GPS. All right, Matthew 8:2-3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. You know, he took the stripes on his back. It's already a done deal. The devil would tell you otherwise from every quarter. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Just think about this. I think about this sometimes, and I think, Lord, you're just so good. God already did a complete work, and he provided everything that we'll ever need for anything. Just pretend all this never, ever even happened. It's all made up. It's all of the God of this world system. He don't want you getting healed, that's for sure. All right, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. See, he's come to steal the word. That's his prime objective, is to steal the word of God. But the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching and preaching and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What did Jesus do? He brought the kingdom of God. He was manifesting the kingdom of God, how it is in heaven. And he wants it on earth, or in earth. Matthew 15:30-31, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and to glorify the God of Israel. How did all this come about? He did what the Father told him to do. He prayed. Got instructions, tapped into the heavenly GPS and went about his business, and the Father taught him, heal that one, do this, do that, whatever. Same thing he tells us to do. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Can you imagine greater works than what he did? Mark 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, as part of the Great Commission. All right, James 5:14-15, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they should be forgiven him. I am convinced today, I'd have to be led to do it, but if the Lord said, you go to that hospital down there, and you walk in every room and say, rise up and walk, Jesus says you're healed. I can guarantee you, if they would act on that word, they would walk out of that hospital healed. It's a fact, Jack. It is. All right, 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thou so prospereth. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Mark 11:23-24. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And it has nothing to do with what you see. It has everything to do with what you believe. All righty, I'm just going to do it.